The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is from Isaiah chapter 61 and 62. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. And when his father and his mother marveled at what had been said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Israel, Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. And coming up to the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's sermon is from Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and rust destroy them, and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where no moth or rust destroy them, and no thieves break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, you have light for your whole body. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be dark. How dark it is when the light in you is dark. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. This is the gospel of the Lord. decided to finish up my mini sermon series on the last day. And today God is commanding us to be faithful. Not just faithful, or I should say faithful and watchful. Not just watchful for what's on TV or the here and now, but to be alert for the Lord's return. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us be alert and self-controlled." This section of Luke that I read from is about two full chapters. If your Bible has the red letters for Jesus' words, about two full chapters all in red. And these are words of encouragement from Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "Solomon in all of his glory was still not dressed as beautiful as the flowers of the field." Right before the text that I read, he says, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." He's directing our attention to look forward to the coming of God's kingdom. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." What words of absolute pure grace. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father in heaven has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Do not be afraid, little flock. The disciples at this point were not great in numbers. There was only a few. Jesus encourages them, "Don't fear. God's gift to you is eternity." They didn't choose him. He chose them. That's God's grace. And what an encouragement it was for these disciples. Jesus tells them, "Show no fear." He says to his disciples, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor." Well, that's exactly what some of the disciples had done. Matthew was a tax collector. Very lucrative career. It would be sort of the equivalent today of making a six-figure income and giving it up to follow the Lord. Also, John, Peter, Simon, and the sons of Zebedee gave up a fishing business. Not only were they fishermen, they didn't work on other people's boats. They had their own boats. And they left all of that to the sons of Zebedee's father to take care of the fishing business while they went and followed Jesus. They placed their confidence in what really matters. Jesus explains, "Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near or moth destroys." Jesus would freely admit to the disciples that they are going to face trials and persecutions. Most of the apostles died for their faith. Now, the people had grumbled just prior to our text when Jesus said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live for eternity." The disciples knew this was true because Jesus was their true treasure. We also know that society thrives on fear. We act on what might happen, or what could happen, or what may happen. I happen to like, on Sirius Radio, Channel 125, has a lot of talk shows. And I notice about every fourth commercial is there's going to be a major disaster coming to this country. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So you've got to buy your 25-year worth of food to keep in storage. It's like it's a guaranteed this is going to happen. And they're playing on the fear of people. Well, what happens if it did happen? How would I survive? Therefore, I need to stock up on all this food. I guess we call them preppers. Now, we fix our eyes on what is not seen, but what is unseen. For that which is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. He is our treasure, and he will come back to give us an eternal inheritance. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." The word of God started to be spread by 12 apostles. On Pentecost, the church was increased by 5,000 people. Later, the church decreased in numbers until the Reformation and flourishes again. I wonder with declining church numbers if we're not going to see another reformation to get the churches back on the right paths. Because if you've been following the news, a lot of denominations are fighting over different social issues, and it's splitting entire church bodies. Because the strength of the church is not in its numbers. The strength of the church is the number of people whose faith God has placed into their heart. True, we're going to have hard and difficult days, but the Lord still loves us. We have earthly trouble, but heavenly joy. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He has overcome sin, death, and the devil. And he says, fear not, little flock, for the kingdom is yours. Jesus adds, be ready for service and keep your lamps burning. At this time, keeping lamps burning was an active job. What do you do at home if you want to light a candle? You get a Bic lighter out, tip the candle a little sideways, fire it up, put it down, and then you can leave it for hours. Then you come home and go, I left the candle burning. At this time, the wicks did not work very well, so they could get snuffed out. Why? Because they could. So you had to constantly be aware of what your lamp was doing. And it didn't have a great deal of oil in it to burn, so you had to be conscious of the fuel level as well. And you had to constantly relight them. Again, they didn't have Bic lighters back then. They had to keep a hot coal nearby to put it to the end of the wick to get it to light. But it served a purpose. It kept them always prepared and always watching. Jesus continues, be ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. After a long day of work at the master's house, instead of being able to retire and go to bed, the servants had to stay up and wait for the master to return. And the master would know he was getting near the house when he would see the lamps burning on the inside. But the people inside didn't know what time that would be. For those found ready, they would be blessed. Jesus states in verse 37, it will be good for those whose servants, whose master finds them watching when he comes. And in verse 38, it will be good for those servants whose masters find them ready. In Matthew's account, he adds the fact that the master of the house may come in the second or third watch of the night. Second watch is everything before midnight. Third watch is everything after the midnight. In other words, the entire night itself, at any time the master of the house could come home. If they didn't understand this, Jesus adds point blank, understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You know, if you knew your house was going to be broken into at 3 a.m. tonight, I'm guessing most of you would have a police officer standing inside your house to arrest the clown. Or you might take a gun and take care of it yourself, but that's up to you. But you would be prepared. You wouldn't just go to bed and say, well, I hope he doesn't take too much. You would do something to defend your house and your goods. We don't know the time Jesus is coming, but we must be prepared. He says, I tell you the truth. He will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. That's the master of the house. He will come and serve the servants. It's exactly what happened on Maundy Thursday when Jesus got down on his knees and washed the feet of the disciples. On the last day, he'll do the same. He'll come suddenly when people do not expect him ready. And every generation, it seems to be getting closer. You turn on the news and just listen to the news or talk radio, you begin to wonder, do we have a future, or when does this chaos finally end? We seem to be getting closer to the last day. And I know for 2,000 years people have been saying that, but each day we get closer and closer. Revelation 3:3 says,
Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. We see him without any fear, because we know, as he says, your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So how are you going to be prepared? Study his word and pray. One of the saddest stories in the Bible, I think, is on Maundy Thursday, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told the disciples, stay awake for an hour, I'm going to go over there and pray. So he goes over and prays in great anguish. He comes back, and what does he find the 11 disciples doing? Sleeping. He wakes them up, says, can't you stay awake for at least 1 hour? He goes off to pray and comes back again. Guess what the 11 are doing again? Sleeping. The day before his death and execution, he wants his disciples to pray with him, but they don't even have an hour to give him. On a Sunday morning, we could be asked the question, couldn't you keep watch just 1 hour or visit God's house for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. Jesus says our sinful flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. We are to watch and pray as we expect the Lord to return. As we watch and pray, we watch for things that are yet to come. We know that no matter what happens in the world, not even if our nation would fall or nations around us crumble and fall, God is still in control. He will use all things for his purpose. As evil and wickedness grows in the world, his purpose is to point to the Lord's return, that it's getting closer. Jesus is going to come sooner rather than many people even think or expect. For you and I, we will look forward to that without fear and are always prepared. Colossians 3 tells us, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Today and every day, Jesus reminds us, do not fear. He says, fear not, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom, a kingdom that is yet to come. God's future is always certain. We can depend on it. He promised it. He will fulfill it. But we need to be prepared. Paul wrote to Timothy while he was in prison. And Paul at this point did not expect that he would leave prison alive. He knew his death was imminent. So he writes to Timothy and he says, now there is a store for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who long for his appearance. Jesus says, fear not, little flock. The Father is pleased to give you his kingdom. We are to be alert without fear and always prepare for realizing that the day there will be many others who long for his second coming. Until that day, may we always be alert, watching without fear for Jesus' return. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.